Have you ever leveled off on a hazy afternoon, looked out at a cloud that seemed close, but not that close, and asked yourself a very quiet question? How far away am I actually supposed to be from that thing? If you have, you're in good company. Because that exact question has a legal answer, and most pilots learn it just well enough to pass a written test and then let it go fuzzy. Today we're going to make it sharp again. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Let's walk through this together. Because visual flight rules, weather minimums are one of those topics that sound like dry rulebook trivia right up until the day they save your life. The regulation is Federal Aviation Regulation 91.155, Basic VFR Weather Minimums. And here's the thing about it. It is one of the most tested, most misunderstood, most fumbled regulations in all of primary training. The examiner asks about it on nearly every private pilot check ride, and I have watched sharp students. Students who could grease a crosswind landing, freeze solid when asked to explain the cloud clearances for Class Echo airspace below 10,000 feet. So let's fix that today, for good, before we dig in. A quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter, and a great gift for the pilot in your life who just knocked out a rating. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk about why this rule even exists. Visual flight rules mean exactly what they sound like. You're flying by looking outside. You are responsible for seeing other airplanes and not hitting them, and you're responsible for staying clear of the clouds, so you don't come blasting out the side of one right into somebody flying on instruments who never saw you coming. That's the whole philosophy, see and avoid. The entire structure of 91.155 is built to give you enough visibility to spot traffic in time and enough distance from the clouds that you and an airplane popping out of one have a fighting chance of not occupying the same cubic foot of sky. So there are really two numbers the regulation cares about. Flight visibility, which is how far you can see forward, and distance from clouds, which is how much cushion you keep between your airplane and the nearest cloud. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Don't try to memorize the whole chart as one giant block. It looks like a wall of numbers and it's overwhelming. Instead, learn the one combination you'll actually fly in 90% of the time and build out from there. That workhorse number is this, 3 and 152, 3 statute miles of visibility, and the cloud clearance. 500, 1,000, 2,500 feet below the cloud, 1,000 feet above the cloud, 2,000 feet horizontally from the cloud, 3 and 500, 1,000, 2,000. That combination applies in controlled airspace Class Echo and the surface areas of Class Delta when you're below 10,000 feet mean sea level, which for most of us in most of our flying is home. That's the pattern, the practice area, the cross-country at 5,500 feet, 3 and 152. Let me help you remember why the cloud clearances are shaped the way they are, because once it makes sense, you'll never forget it. Why 500 below but 1,000 above? Think about it. Airplanes on instruments are descending out of the bases of those clouds to come in and land. If you're skimming along underneath, you want a little room, 500 feet, to see one drop out and react. But airplanes climbing up through the tops and cruising above, those are moving fast, up high, and you want more margin there. 1,000 feet above the cloud, and 2,000 feet horizontally. That's because a jet or a fast airplane can come around the side of a buildup with almost no warning. 2,000 feet of side clearance buys you a couple of seconds. In aviation, a couple of seconds is often everything. So the shape of the rule isn't arbitrary. It's built around where the traffic actually comes from. Below, above, and beside. 500, 1,000, 2,000. Now, let's build outward, because the check ride is going to push on the edges. Class Gulf airspace. Uncontrolled airspace. This is where the numbers change, and this is where students get tangled up, so slow down with me here. In Class Golf during the day, at or below 1,200 feet above the ground, the rule relaxes. You need 1 statute mile of visibility, and you must remain clear of clouds. Not 500, 1,000, 2,000. Just clear of clouds. 1 mile and clear of clouds. Why the break? Because down low in the middle of nowhere, away from the busy controlled airspace, the traffic density is lower, and the FAA gives you a little more rope. But notice, they never let the visibility drop below 1 mile in the daytime, and they never ever let you touch a cloud in visual conditions. At night in that same Class Golf airspace, the numbers tighten back up. 3 miles visibility, and 500, 1,000, 2,000. Because at night you cannot see a cloud until you're in it, and by then it's far too late. Here's the honest part. Learning to fly is hard, and it's expensive, and regulations like this feel like busy work when you're paying by the hour to be in the airplane. I get it. But this particular rule is not busy work. This is the rule that stands between a VFR pilot and the number one killer in general aviation, which is continued visual flight into instrument conditions. Flying a perfectly good airplane into a cloud you had no business being near. The regulation is the FAA drawing a bright line and saying, if the weather is worse than this, you do not belong up there under VFR. Full stop, let me give you a scenario, because this is a scenario-based decision-making show and rules only matter when you can apply them. You're a fresh private pilot. Beautiful morning, you launch on a cross country. Halfway there, the visibility starts dropping. That crisp horizon turns to milk. You're in class echo at 4,500 feet, and the clouds that were scattered and high are now broken and coming down to meet you. Here's the trap. It happens gradually. There is no single moment where a bell rings and says you are now illegal and unsafe. The haze thickens 1 mile at a time, and your brain, which desperately wants to complete the flight, keeps telling you it's probably still fine. This is where the number saves you, because you don't have to trust your gut, which is compromised by that get-there pressure. You have a hard rule. 3 miles and 152. The moment you cannot confidently say you have 3 miles of forward visibility, or the moment you cannot keep 500 below and 2,000 to the side of those clouds, the regulation has already made your decision for you. You turn around, you divert, you land, and wait. The rule is not there to punish you, it's there to make the hard decision before your optimism can talk you out of it. The examiner is looking for exactly this on your check ride. Not just whether you can recite the numbers. They want to see that you understand the numbers are a decision-making tool. They'll give you a scenario. Dropping ceilings, deteriorating visibility, and they want to hear you connect the regulation to an action. That's the difference between a pilot who memorized 91.155 and a pilot who actually understands it. Let me hit a couple of the trickier corners, the ones that separate a good answer from a great one. First, Class Alpha airspace. At 18,000 feet and above, there are no VFR weather minimums, because there is no VFR up there at all. Everybody is on an instrument flight plan. So if the question is about Class Alpha, the answer is a bit of a trick. It's not a visibility number. It's that you can't be there under visual flight rules, period. Second, the 10,000 foot line in controlled airspace. Above 10,000 feet means sea level and more than 1,200 feet above the ground, the numbers jump up. Now you need 5 miles of visibility and the cloud clearance becomes 1,000 below, 1,000 above, and one statute mile horizontal. Why so much bigger up there? Speed. Above 10,000 feet, you can legally fly faster than 250 knots, and airplanes are moving quick. Faster closure means you need to see farther and stay farther from those clouds. 5 miles and 1,000, 1,000, 1 mile. Bigger sky, bigger numbers. Here's a memory hook I give my students for that high altitude set. Everything goes to ones and fives, 5 miles, 1,000, 1,000, 1 mile. When you climb up high and fast, the rule rounds up to the big, round, generous numbers. Down low and slow, it's the tighter, 500, 1,000, 2,000, third corner, and this is a good one to have in your pocket. Class Bravo airspace, the big, busy airspace around major airports. In Class Bravo, the visibility requirement is 3 miles, but the cloud clearance is simply clear of clouds. No 500, no 1,000, no 2,000. Just stay out of the clouds. Students always find that strange. Why is the busiest airspace in the country the most relaxed on cloud clearance? Because inside the Bravo, everybody is talking to air traffic control. The controller is separating you from that instrument traffic. You don't need the 2,000-foot horizontal buffer to protect you from an airplane you can't see, because a controller is watching both of you on radar and keeping you apart. The system provides the separation, so the rule doesn't have to. 3 miles and clear of clouds. Now, let me tell you how to actually study this so it sticks, because I've seen too many people cram the chart the night before and lose it the day after. Learn the workhorse first, 3 and 152. Say it out loud. Class Echo and Delta below 10,000, 3 miles, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 beside, own that one completely before you touch anything else. Then learn the two departures from it. Golf down low, which loosens to 1 mile and clear of clouds in the daytime, and up high above 10,000, which tightens to 5 miles, and the ones. Two exceptions in two directions. Looser when you're low and uncontrolled, tighter when you're high and fast. And then the two clear of clouds cases. Bravo. And daytime golf? Down low. Different reasons, same cloud clearance. In Bravo, it's because the controller protects you. In Golf, it's because there's nobody else out there. Understand the why, and you'll never mix them up. The Airman Certification Standards, the ACS, lists this squarely under the airspace and weather areas of operation. The standard doesn't just want recall, it specifically calls for you to determine the requirements for VFR flight and correlate them to a given situation. Correlate. That's the examiner's favorite word, and it's the whole ballgame. They want to see you take the number and turn it into a go or no-go decision. So on your next flight, try this. Level off and cruise. Look at the nearest cloud, and honestly, estimate. Am I 500 feet below it? 2,000 feet to the side? Do I really have 3 miles of visibility? Or does that ridgeline 12 miles out just look clear because I want it to? Practice measuring it when the weather is beautiful and the stakes are zero. Build the habit now so that on the day the haze rolls in and the pressure is real, the assessment is automatic. That's how you turn a regulation into airmanship, because that's what this rule really is. It isn't the FAA being fussy about clouds, it's 50 years of hard lessons, written down as numbers, handed to you so you don't have to learn them the hard way yourself. The details on 91.155 come straight from the Federal Aviation Regulations and the Aeronautical Information Manual, and the correlation standard is right there in the FAA's Airman Certification Standards if you want to read exactly what the examiner is grading. All of it is worth an evening with a cup of coffee. You can find more at radiohangar.com and listen. The next time you're up there and a cloud starts creeping closer than you'd like, you won't have to wonder anymore. You'll know the number and you'll know what to do. That's a good feeling. Fly safe and keep it 3 and 152 out there.